Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again, and I really take it as a great privilege today to bring the Word of God to you and to share with you, and really trust that the Lord's going to continue to encourage you in the season of looking up. Before we start, I'd love to pray and trust God to minister to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you, and we ask that by your Holy Spirit, that you bring the life of your word to every one of us. May not only our minds be renewed, but may our hearts be enlightened as we follow you this morning. I pray truly, Father, that there be a good deposit of your word in every one of our lives today by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you a question before we get into God's word. I know we're in a time of looking up, and we are restricted to our homes. But let me tell you, the Spirit of God is not restricted. As Paul said, the Word of God is not restricted by chains. And I wanted to say is that we have an incredible opportunity that the Word of God is still in our hearts and we can still preach this Word. But I want to say one of the other gifts that God has given to us is the ability to pray. And I want to encourage every one of you, God has given you that gift, that ability to come into the throne room of grace and pray. And I want to ask, are you praying for the church, for your neighbors? Are you praying for your work colleagues, for your family? Are you praying for this nation and our president? Are you praying for the nations of the earth? Are you praying for the sick? Are you praying for those that are being infected? Yes, I want to just say it's a great time to pray. And may we find that grace of praying in this season. So I do ask you, please take time in this time to pray. What I want us to just take a reference to the scripture in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus was talking and he says, yeah, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a very inquiring question that the Lord asks. He asks, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? And behind that, I really do believe there's an expectation that God has for us is that we need to have faith. So the title of my message today is Your Faith Has Made You Whole. And I take our text from Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. I read from the New King James Version. So if you get your Bibles out, and we're going to read that together. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from the many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no longer better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And amazing, in this portion of scripture, yeah, Jesus is walking with the disciples, and someone comes and touches him, and he senses that virtue, the anointing flow out of him, and in that, the discovery that someone gets healed. But how did that all happen? And we understand, yeah, there was an outworking of what God has given us, an ability to have faith and to believe in him. And if we touch Jesus, there's an outworking of God's power in someone's life and in our lives. So in this context here, we see the Lord, once the power of God had flown out of him, he addresses this woman who was fear and trembling, and he affirms her, and he says, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. And I find that absolutely wonderful is that he didn't downgrade her and call her a woman and push her down and degrade her. He lifted her up and raised her up as someone important, that she was a daughter of some father in some family, and he acknowledged her as someone special. He honored her and affirmed her and made her special. And I want to just say to you ladies out there, God loves women. So many men in the world disregard women and push them aside, but not our Lord. And I really believe even in the church, we don't push women aside. You are special and you are very important to the Lord. And that's why here even the Lord uses the word daughter. So you are special, ladies. You are very special. Important here, it says that she's been made well. And what was that? That Greek word behind it is the word sozo, which means save, heal, to make whole, to preserve. And that's incredible that God brings through salvation, he brings life to those who believe in him. So Jesus said to her is that your faith has made you whole. And then he said to her, go in peace and be healed of your disease and affliction. So out of this portion of scripture, I've got some topics that I wanted us to look at and to discuss this morning. And I just want to enumerate them before you, so you just got a heads up where we're going. So firstly, according to this portion of scripture, what mystery, sin or misery, sin has brought into the world? Secondly, she pushed into Jesus. Thirdly, how precious is a grace, is faith. And fourthly, we walk by faith and not by sight. And then under that number four, we're going to be looking at increasing our faith, the evidence of faith, the confession, profession and proclamation. And what should we be proclaiming, and what should we be proclaiming on a daily basis? So my first point is what misery sin has brought into the world. We see this woman who'd been bound by a sickness for 12 years. She had spent all her money and had gone to the doctors and the physicians in those days, and the medical profession was unable to prove a cure. And even today, we have sicknesses that the medical profession can't cure. We're even facing this pandemic of COVID-19 that the medical profession doesn't even understand yet what it is. But Jesus is still the healer and can heal that. But what I wanted to say is that the result of why was she sick, I really do believe, as we read the scripture, is that sin is the issue. It's not that she's done wrong or there was an evidence of her wrongdoing, but it's sin that was around the whole world has caused pain and sickness throughout the world. God never created us to be alien, suffering creatures. He created us to walk in the image of God and walk in his blessing and his prosperity. The Bible says he desires for us to walk in divine health. Why do we suffer in our body at times? I cannot answer that at times, but I do know God's plan is not for us to be suffering in our bodies. His plan is always that we need to trust him for his healing power to be worked in our bodies. So sin, what does it do? It causes pain and sickness, and it causes weaknesses in our bodies. So we have a indebtedness to hate sin. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, your love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. May we have a godly hatred towards sin. And may our eyes open up in the season, not to see just sickness, but see the root of it as sin. May we, as Jesus hated sin and went to die and pay the price for sin, may we have that in our hearts also. Secondly, she pushed into Jesus. We have the multitudes and the crowds that were following Jesus out of curiosity. But how many of them got a benefit from him? Not many. But she said in her heart, if I can touch Jesus, I will be healed. So by faith, she came towards Jesus and she touched him, and she received an incredible benefit when she came towards the Lord and touched him by faith. How many in the church today attend meetings and even watch Christian programs on TV and even partake of the Lord's Supper? But how many really touch Jesus in those times of meetings? And I want to encourage us, there are many in the church that are just pure observers and never extending their faith to meet with the Lord and to touch him and allow his power to touch them and to change them. And I want to encourage us today is may we not be one of those. May we be in a place like this woman, even though she had an issue of blood, that pushes into the Lord and seeks after him and desires him and delights in him, because surely when you seek him, you will find him. Thirdly, how precious is a grace is faith. How often faith is mentioned in the New Testament and how Jesus spoke much about it. Yeah, even in this passage that we read in Mark chapter 5, 34, the Lord said to this lady, your faith has healed you. and how important it was to the Lord. And we see right through his ministry that he spoke to his disciples and those that he came across, and he always mentioned this grace where people exercise faith. To the centurion, he said he was astonished because the centurion understood what it is to receive orders and to speak words. And here he said, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. He commended the centurion for his faith. But yet the Lord also rebuked his disciples and others for their unbelief and their lack of faith. He talks about lack of faith in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, and Mark chapter 4, verse 40, when Jesus was sleeping on the boat and the storm and of the wind and the waves came. In verse 40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? We want to just say is that Jesus has an expectation of us not only to have faith, but to express our faith. So we can have hope and we can have love, but let me just tell you, one of the key elements of living in Christ is faith. See, faith brings an empty hand and receives everything and gives nothing in return. We can receive from God. This is the source and the resource of heaven to release what God has for us. So where does faith work in the outworking of our lives? By faith, we are born again. By faith, we live. By faith, we stand. We walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, we overcome. By faith, we have peace. And by faith, we enter into rest. So practically, my fourth point here, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. That's my first point. And they said that in Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And they asked the Lord, increase our faith. And this is what the Lord said. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey. We need to contemplate that, what the Lord said, and put it into practice. So secondly, evidence of more faith is in the saying. The Lord taught us to use our words. And we sometimes don't consider the words that we speak. And sometimes the words we speak, we just speak and they fall to the ground as dead. But I wanted to say the Lord's desire for us is that the words that we speak will have power. They will have meaning. They will have the evidence of God upon them, and they will go forward to what God says they will do. You know, in Isaiah 55, verse 11, the Lord declares is that my word goes out from my mouth and it will not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So there's an intention that God has when he speaks words. He doesn't just babble. He doesn't just rant and rave. He speaks with intent, and he has purpose in his words that he's saying. So there's always purpose in loving people. There's always purpose in bringing life, but there's also purpose of declaring God's word and seeing the life of God evidenced through the word of God. So very important, the evidence of what strong faith is, or increasing our faith is the very words that we speak. So I want to encourage you to watch your words. Release your faith by the words that you speak. And as Jesus said very clearly, we don't often see that, he said, speak to the mulberry tree. That's to the issue, to the mountain that we are facing. And I want to just say every one of us have that ability in God to stand up and speak the word of God in those situations. And as the Lord said, as you believe, you will receive and it will be done for you. My third point is that there's confession, profession, and proclamation. So firstly, I want to just say under this confession is that we need to be under the word of God. We come out of the world and we've come into the kingdom of God, and the reality that our minds need to be renewed, and we need to be under the word of God. All of us need to be taught and all of us need to be trained. That's why we continue to preach and teach from the pulpit. And even now we're preaching and teaching that you can be under the word of God, that the word of God can come and permeate into your heart and into your mind. And as the Bible says, that we can renew our minds. Why? That we can have the mind of Christ. But once the word of God, we've come under the word of God and the word of God is in us, how do we do that? We've heard the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, hearing the word of Christ. Then we also need to take hold of it, and we need to memorize it and meditate on and ponder it, that it becomes alive in us. I know Christ lives in us with the hope of glory, but when his word mixes with him that dwells within us, there's a powerhouse within us. So we've got to build a bank within us that we've got to get the word inside of us, got to get God's truth, and it's got to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and it's got to be imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. But we've got to make it, and we've got to put it in our hearts, in our minds, and there we're going to make a rich deposit of the word of God. Then we are ready to speak the word of God, what Jesus is telling us. When we have got this outworking of his word in our hearts, then the faith comes, and the faith comes through that word that's within our hearts, and then we can start to speak the word into our circumstances. In Revelation 12 verse 11, he says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I want to just say, God has given us this incredible ability to have a mouth that can confess his word, that can profess his word and proclaim his word into situations and see life coming through. So what do? We confess the word to establish the word in word of truth in our lives. So that's good, to take scripture and to confess it of you. It might not be a reality in your life yet, but when you confess it, something starts to transpire through the power of God's word into your heart and your mind. Then when you profess it and then it becomes a reality, it becomes truth. And another word for truth is reality. It's a reality in your life. You cannot rob it, even though it's invisible, it's a truth in your life. And then we proclaim the word of God. We release the power of God through the proclamation of God's word. And I wanted to say proclamation is such a key thing in what we need to be doing in our lives. So my next point is, what are we proclaiming? There are 2 points that I just really want to encourage you with as we continue with this message. Firstly, that we are the righteous new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We need to know that we are a righteous new creation, that we've been born again from above and Christ lives in us, but we are a new creation created in the very image of Christ. And then secondly, who we are in Christ. And these references, we need to go and study in the Word of God. And I ask you to go and study. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, there's 133 references in the New Testament who we are in Christ. I'm just going to give you a few that you can hold on to, and that not only you can hold on to, but that you can start to confess over your life. And in that, profess it and then proclaim it. And I read quickly from 1 John 4, chapter 4, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that who is in the world. In Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves. And 1 Peter 5:17, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So I wanted to say to you, start to hold on to the word of God, who you are in Christ, and things will change. So I've got a short testimony of a lady who was very learned and a devout lover of the Lord. She went to seminary and even got a higher education when it comes to biblical studies. But she just found that her life was empty. And what she started to do, she was encouraged to do what I'm encouraging you today. She started to take hold of the scriptures and started to write them and start to confess them, appropriate them over her life as that profession, and then proclaim them as a reality in her life. And she came back with a testimony, and it didn't take long that she started to say, you know, this life of God that's within me became a reality. Christ became a reality to me, and I started to exercise my faith because the word was alive to me. And that proclamation, that she started to declare things over her circumstances and started to see the power of God exhibited in and through her life. So I want to encourage you to do exactly that. Now, this proclamation, my next point, must be done on a daily basis. You want to overcome unbelief and lack in faith and weaknesses and be strong in your faith. I want to just say to you, we need to be disciplined in this area of taking hold of the word of God, being under the word of God and the word of God in us and the word of God through us. May that become a reality in your life. This will produce incredible results in your life. So in summary, I want to just say, what have we covered today? What misery sin has brought into the world. Secondly, this lady pushed into Jesus, and may we push into Jesus. Thirdly, how precious is a grace, is faith. And then fourthly, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. But then we need to evidence our faith by what we are saying. We need to grow in our confession, profession, and proclamation, and what is and what we should be proclaiming. So I encourage you today here, as this woman pushed into Jesus, She came to a place where there was a reality that she confessed in her heart, and she said, "If I can touch Jesus, I will be healed." And I want to say to you today, you can say those same words and you can turn to the Lord and be healed in many ways. And the Lord commended her, and these are the words that I want to say to you too again. The Lord commended her and said, "Your faith has made you well." And I want to say today, may the Lord, when he returns, find faith on the earth. So all of us out there today, do you have faith? Maybe you're in a place today that you've never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us that you need to have faith, and the Lord will give you faith to believe upon him. But maybe you want to believe upon him today and express your faith in confessing him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, and I ask you to respond with your heart and to speak these words from your heart with your mouth, and would you say after me, "Lord Jesus, I accept you and believe you to be my Lord and Savior. Today I belong to you and no longer belong to this world. I'm no longer a sinner, but now I'm a child of God, and I'm walking. I want to walk with you and I want to follow you. And I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might know your power and be able to know you and live with you and experience you on a daily basis for the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me now, in Jesus' name." And then to the rest of us, maybe you're dealing with issues of health. And I really do, God's plan is for divine health. And as this woman with the issue of blood came before the Lord and said, "If I can touch him, I will be healed." I want to say you don't need the elders to lay hands upon you, but it is important to do that, or others to lay hands upon you. But will you reach out to Jesus today? He is Lord, he's Savior, but he's also healer. And will you turn to him today and touch him? And if there's sickness in your body, I even ask now that as we close our eyes, will you reach out and will you touch Jesus and allow him to heal you? I'm going to give us a moment as we just reach out to Jesus and touch him by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be healed as we touch you. We express our faith in you and our love for you. And we thank you, Lord. You are our healer. And we give you all the praise and the thanks for healing our bodies now. And we just thank you for your power exhibited in our bodies and bringing life to our mortal bodies by the Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord has healed you and touched you, please send us on your Church in the Home WhatsApp groups a testimony of how the Lord has healed you. May you walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Have a great day and keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. God bless you. Amen.